Good morning, folks. Happy to see all of you today in the house of the Lord, continuing our series, Freedom for You. And today's message, Freedom from Worry. Philippians 4:6. You can follow the message in your outline. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Matthew 6:25, Jesus speaking, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. We'll continue the rest as we go on. God bless you. Don't worry. Now you can sit down. According to Anxiety and Depression Association of America, anxiety disorders or worry is the number one mental problem in America. American doctors write over 50 million prescriptions a year for antidepressant medication. So Jesus and the Apostle Paul were on target when they gave this instruction over 2,000 years ago, do not worry. The logical question to answer as a starting point, therefore, letter A, why do people worry? People worry for at least four reasons. People worry, A1, due to personal reason. Look at our text again in Philippians 4:6. St. Paul states, do not be anxious or worry about anything. It is obvious that the people in our text were worrying, for it was pointless for Paul and Jesus to give this instruction or advice to his clients. Let's start with the people addressed in Philippians 4:6. The book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi. Now, St. Paul was in prison as a result of preaching the Word of God. Can you just imagine if Pastor Fred, our senior pastor, was in jail for over-speeding, preaching the gospel, of course. How about you? What makes you to have a blank look at the wall during the day and stare at the ceiling during the night? Is it your health or the health of a person that you love? Your job search, your business, a pending decision, your children or grandchildren? Maybe your personal worry is your aging parents or a relative needing a special care. It might be your finances, your love life, your marriage, your relationships, career, personal struggle, the challenges of living alone, or the prospect of retirement, or inevitable appointment with death, and our concerns with loved ones who will be left behind. You can add whatever reason that causes you worry to this list, like the Philippian Christians and the people addressed by Jesus in our text. Jesus is aware of our concerns and our worry. All of us are on the same boat, so relax. People worry, A2, due to psychological reason. The person admits one's inability to handle issues. The Philippian congregation worried about the safety and well-being of their pastor, Paul. They wanted their pastor to be freed from imprisonment. There were no Aladdin bail bonds at the time for their pastor to be temporarily be freed from imprisonment. People also worry for A3 due to a spiritual reason. The person may be struggling with trust issue. The anxious friends of Paul are struggling with the questions related to trust, like, can we really trust God to take care of our pastor who is in jail? What will happen to us now? There was an issue of trust behind the anxiety or worry among the Philippian believers. That's why Paul commanded them in 4:6, do not be anxious. Lastly, people worry, A4, for practical reason. Perhaps the people in Philippi, and we believe possibly they are doing it, they are crying out for help. They are dialing 911. Now you know who started this 911 thing. And their theme song back then, help! Help! What do you remember? The song. Won't you help me? That's what they were shouting. The next question is letter B. Can we be free from worry? Again, Paul and Jesus' command, don't be anxious or do not worry. Now, question, is it possible to live a worry-free life as our text imply? The answer is yes and no. So let's now define the word worry from the Bible, particularly from our text, Philippians 4:6, and also in Matthew 6:25. The word worry is from the word Greek word merimnao. Merimnao describes two types of worry. One, healthy concerns. Refers to appropriate cares or concerns. This is the positive side of merimnao or worry. Example, the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2:28 states, therefore I am all the more eager to send him so that I may have less anxiety or merimnao. Anxiety here refers to Paul's legitimate concern or care about his beloved friends in Philippi. Remember their situation. The Christians in Philippi were worried about Paul because he was in prison. Paul knew this, so he sent his associate pastor, Epaphroditus, so that his merimnao or legitimate concern will be taken care of. Paul has concerns or care. His concern for his friends is legitimate regarding their well-being. And this is okay. Can we really be free from healthy and legitimate concerns? The answer is no. Because healthy concerns are normal and a part of life. They can even motivate a person to do better. Example, a person who is concerned of dying young can be motivated to eat healthy to prolong his or her life. Or a family may become concerned due to the rising cost of house rent. The family may then be challenged to save more and tighten budgets so that they can save for down payment. Or concern about your life when you become an adult, so you can get motivated to get good education to improve your life. This can go on and on and on, like an expected medical crisis or an imminent retirement, you can add to the list. There is nothing wrong with planning and preparing for the future to address our healthy and normal concerns. In fact, we need to. These are valid. The second type of worry is unhealthy worry. Healthy, unhealthy. Refers to anxiety that is excessive. Say it with me. and problematic. This is negative side of Merim Nao. This is a professional warrior with a lifetime of excessive worrying on basically, you got it. Are you one of, when Paul instructed his Christian friends in Philippi not to worry, he was referring to this type of worry, the Merim Nao, that is too much. Professional warrior that creates problem to self and people around them. According to Anxiety and Depression Association of America, 40 million people in America are warriors. Not warriors, warriors. According to Johns Hopkins Alert, people with a lifestyle of worry can spend 300 minutes a day worrying. Do the math. That's 5 hours a day. How do they do it? They do it while lying in bed at night, while everybody is snoring. How do you know that you are a professional but unpaid warrior? Answer these questions in your mind. Do I expect the worst in every situation? Do I blame myself when something happened and discredit myself when I do well and say, it's just a fluke or it happened by chance? Are you overprotective with your child like a hen that you cannot sleep when they leave the house? Are you flexible or a do or an all or nothing person? Do you love to use the word always and never as if you are God in a negative way? Do you feel guilty when you just chill and relax? It's no wonder people who worry so much exhibit this kind of symptoms according to Diagnostic Statistical Manual or DSM. Like this, the Bible of doctors and counselors and mental professionals. And these are the symptoms. Headaches, insomnia, muscle tension, loss of appetite, low sex drive. That's why Viagra is very popular. Dizziness, heart palpitation, stomach ache, irritation, feeling of fatigue. Depression, paranoia. Problems related to others. Frequent urination and even diarrhea. Others, just in case you see somebody walking fast towards the door, please be considerate. What is the difference between the Apostle Paul and his friends in Philippi with regards to worry? The Apostle Paul has healthy, normal concerns for his friends, not excessive worry. Whereas, in contrast, the Philippian Christians have too much anxiety that affected their faith and their emotional well-being. Paul was saying to them, and to us today, legitimate concerns. Okay, but excessive, too much worry, no. Instead, God wants us to live a life of joy and a life free from excessive becoming a professional warrior. That's why the Apostle Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. And Jesus stated in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more. Woo! I cannot say it abundantly. We have discussed the causes of worry, the biblical definition of worry. Finally, letter C, How then do we handle worry? There are two practical solutions in handling worry. One, do what you can. And two, trust God to do what you cannot. You can go home now, you know the message. You are excused. Let's start with do what you can. There are things that we can do to overcome worry, like 1A, tell God. Express to God in prayer everything that makes you concerned or worried. Let us revisit our text in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Paul said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. Present your request to God. Present is tell God in prayer. In effect, he was saying to his friends and to us today, I know you're presenting problem, counseling term. You are excessively anxious about your pastor, me. I advise you first to tell God of your concern. And then he said, do not worry. Result when you do that, in 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Next thing that you can do to overcome worry is be, after telling God, tell yourself. Meditate on excellent things and the Lord's goodness in your life. Worry starts actually in the mind through our thoughts. Do you know that worry is actually a form of meditation? Meditation. When you worry, you are meditating. But of course, the wrong kind of stuff. When you allow negative thoughts to remain in your mind and meditate on it daily, what happens? Worry. That's why the Apostle Paul states in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent, praiseworthy, think. Say it with me. Think of this good stuff. Result, the God of peace will be with you. Not the God of worry. The God of peace will be with you. 4:9. King David, the writer of most of Psalms, practiced healthy meditation as evidenced in his journal in Psalms 103, verses 1 to 5. And I read, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, do not forget all his benefits. He saves you, heals your diseases, protects you from harm, satisfies you with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That is the secret of David and those who love old hymns. It's put this way: count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has. Another step you can take to overcome worry is C, arrange your life's priority to reflect God's. Seek God first, his kingdom and his righteousness. That was the advice of Jesus in Matthew 6:33. And look at verse 25 in particular. Therefore I tell you, this is speaking, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. What about your body? What to wear? Is not life more than food and body than clothes? And look at 30. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not more clothe you, O you of little faith. It's the problem. So the word is saying, what shall we eat, drink, wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all of this, and then he gave the punch. But, it is a contrasting word, but don't be like pagans who don't know the Lord. You are a child of the King. But for you, seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, and all these things that concerns you will be added to you as well. The people whom Jesus is addressing here were extremely anxious and excessively worried, the kind of merimnao that is not approved by Jesus. They were so anxious in the pursuit of livelihood. In 21st century America, we call this the American dream. In the preceding passage of Matthew 6, leading to our text, is verse 25. Observe how verse 25 starts. It starts with, therefore, I tell you. It's a concluding word. Jesus explained to his disciples how to live in his kingdom as a citizen of his kingdom, which is the rule of Christ in the hearts and lives of believers like you and I, challenging his followers to make a choice between pursuing first the rule of God or the American dream. For only after we have decided to choose to be under the rule of Christ and live for God, therefore I tell you, behave and live like a child of Jesus. Don't worry about what you eat. Worry about what to wear. And so on and so forth. Jesus then commanded his followers and us today, seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, look at the word, as well. However, if you reverse the order by putting the pursuit of the American dream first, good education, job, nice house, nice car, leisure, fat bank account, good retirement, health, yourself, nothing wrong with all of this. I wish all of us have the American dream. Congratulations. I rejoice with you. There's nothing wrong with it per se. Then we will worry. Do you know why? Because we'll be afraid that we might lose everything in a moment's time. And the Swedish proverb attests to it, and I quote, God is a help in trouble, in worry. You are on your own. So then, the probing questions are, do you have the guts to trust God? Are your priorities in line with God's? Who is first with your time, resources, and talents? The last question, the last action you can take to overcome worry, letter D, do your best. Do everything we can within our power to deal and address our concerns or worry. Paul is a good example of this. What did he do? Because of his concern, he wrote them a letter, the book of Philippians. And then he sent his associate Epaphroditus to check on them so that he knows what's going on. We can also be inspired from the example of the ostrich. Now, ostriches have suffered a lot from fake news. We often see picture of ostrich with its head buried in the Son, which many interpret as Ostrich's denial of danger or problem. However, zoologists from San Diego Zoo dispute this. That is not true. The reason for ostrich burying its head in the sun is to actually check the eggs and turn them around a few times during the day if they are okay. The experts explain. And when there is danger, the ostrich will actually lower its head and body on the ground because the ostrich's height is 6 to 9 feet. Weighing over 300 pounds to camouflage herself so that she will not be seen by anyone trying to harm this big bird. What can we do to address your concern or worry? Do you need to see the doctor or the counselor that you have been dreading for a long, long time? Do you need to contact your son or daughter or parents that you worry about? When was the last time you visited a loved one? When will you start your job training to prepare you for a better job? What about your plan to go to college to improve your life? You worry about health, but do you exercise and take care of your diet? Yeah? You know the spelling of diet, right? If you remove T, do you save money for rainy days? What about the person that you need to forgive? When was the last time you spent quality time with your wife? So I dated my wife yesterday, just to be sure. Or with your children, talking to your teenager. Do you have time for family day? When was the last time you did something special for your parents so that you won't worry and feel guilty when they are not around? We thank God for our two grown-up children. They are so thoughtful. We thank God for them, and one of them is here with us, Bethany. Like Paul and the ostrich, you need to do your part within your power to address your concern or worry. Instead of worrying, do something about it. And use your energy to address your concern. Do what you can, and then number two, trust God to do what you cannot. God's credentials that qualify him to help us enjoy freedom from worry are so impressive. Look at this, A, 2A. He is called God. He is all-powerful, all-wise, all-present. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. And in Genesis 1:1, the Word of God declares, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The God who said, do not worry, is the same God who created the heavens and the earth, including us. The God, it is the same God who said, this is the same God who said, let there be light, and there was light. This is the same God who said, do not be an excessive warrior. St. Paul declares this in Colossians 1. He is not only the creator, he is the sustainer to keep us well and alive in his all creation. He is all powerful, he is all wise, he is all present. The God of the Bible is sovereign. That is, God has all the power in the universe to carry out his good plans for his creation, for you, and for me. Therefore, he wants us to trust him. He's not only God, furthermore, number 2B, he is king. What a credential. as king, he is in charge of everything, including our cares and concerns. Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom. When there is kingdom, there is king. His subjects are the people who have surrendered to his authority and allow him to rule their lives, putting him first, his kingdom and his righteousness, as their top priority. He is the only God. He is not only king. But most of all, he is our heavenly Father. Matthew 6:31, 32, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Overcoming worry, as you have now discovered, has two parts. The human part and God's part. Your job is to do what you can, and God's part is to do what you cannot. As you entrust your care and concern to our Heavenly Father, who is in control, he is your Heavenly Father. There's a story of a man who was late for his flight. He reached the boarding gate before it closed, sweating and out of breath. He scanned his boarding pass at the counter and quickly made it to the airplane. Arriving at his seat, he greeted his companions, a middle-aged woman sitting at the window and a little girl sitting on the side, on the aisle side. After putting his belongings up, he took his place between them. After the flight took off, he began a conversation with the little girl. She appeared to be about the same age as his daughter and was busy with her coloring book. He asked a few, you know, usual questions, as are her age, 8 years old, her hobbies, cartoons, drawing, favorite animals, horses, and cats. He found it so strange that such a little girl will be traveling alone. But he kept his thoughts to himself and decided to keep an eye on her just to be sure she is okay. About an hour into the flight, the plane suddenly began experiencing extreme turbulence. The pilot came over the PA system and told everyone to fasten their seatbelts and remain calm, as they had encountered rough weather. Several times over the next half hour, the plane went drastic tips and turns, shaking all the while. Some people began crying, and like the woman, began praying. The man was sweating and clenching his seat as tightly as he could and exclaimed, "Oh my God!" with its increasingly violent shake of the plane. Meanwhile, the little girl, sitting quietly beside him in her seat, her coloring book and crayons were put away neatly in the seat pocket in front of her, and her hands were calmly resting on her legs. Incredibly, she didn't seem worried at all. Then just as suddenly as it had begun, the turbulence ended. The pilot came on a few minutes to announce that they would be landing soon. As the plane began its descent, the man said to the little girl, "You are just a little girl, and you are not afraid. You are the bravest person that I ever met. Tell me, dear, your secret." And the girl looked the man in the eyes and said, "My father is the pilot." Amen. Yes, we can live a worry-free life as we do our best, seek Him first, and entrust to our Heavenly Father what we cannot do that are beyond our control, our worries, our cares, our turbulence, because He is our Heavenly Father, pilot. He can take care of us. He wants us to trust Him. He's able to bring us home safely. Let's pray.